Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Christine Baker Psychic Hour. Well, we're going to get right into our calls. Some callers in the queue right now. 914-338-0164 is the caller number. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, callers. And the number to call for more conversation, 562-596-7818. And that is the number you would direct any inquiries to. We would love it if you followed us on Facebook, so you may join us there. Those sites are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile, Neil and Kristen Baker, Neil Baker Psychic, and the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, let's bring on 610. Hi.
Hello. Hi, this is Linda from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Linda.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. I was wondering whether you could tell me a little about the influence of some planets on me, like Saturn. I feel like it's interrupting me, you know?
Well, you know what we do on the show is we work more with the personal code of the birth date. So I think we're going to get a better answer by getting your birth date and finding out what's going on with you. Specifically.
Yeah, okay, January 21st, 91.
1991. So what's been going on lately?
It's just so much to describe. I'm not sure what to focus on, you know?
Well, just give it a start. I mean, you know, we have a little bit of time, so, you know, you can give us a few details.
I'm becoming more attracted to tarot card readings, some psychic stuff.
Okay, but you're saying you were talking about the influence of Saturn. What did you mean by that?
Oh, I was doing like a life mission, life purpose, you know, my mission on Earth, you know, reading for the general public, and I'm not sure what's the ancient secret about Saturn. I feel like it's interrupting my people who have my mission, you know.
So you're having some troubles. That's what we're trying to get to. So you're having some troubles in your quest for spirituality.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've got some, you know, in your birth date, your birth date is 1/21/1991. So you've got some 11s going on. Your first and last number is an 11. Your first and third number is an 11. And your year, 1991, is an 11. So 11s come with some difficulties. And so that may be part of the problem, and that could be from past life, that you're experiencing problems now with your spirituality. I'm just trying to get your date of birth, 28. You're 28 years old?
Yeah.
So four years ago in 2015, you should have had a change, Linda. What happened?
Yeah, I came upon this group of friends and fell in love with one of them. It's like a love thing now that's going stable.
You fell in love with a friend, one of the people. I'm unclear. Are you still with that person?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's going well for you, the relationship. What's that person's birthday?
Yeah. March 7th, 1991.
Okay. 10, 20, 30, and he's a 31-4, which is actually...
21.
10?
Oh, no, 31-4.
No, wait, we're both wrong. 10, 20, 30, he's a 30-3. Sorry, we're having a little problems adding today. So he's a 30-3, which is the sum of your day. 2 and 1, 2, 1 is a 3.
Okay, so... Here's the thing, Linda. Your master number is 6. That's the 6th chakra, which means that you would be involved potentially in tarot card reading, things like that. Your obstacle that you're so it's centered on the fact that if you want to be a tarot card reader, it's in your code, okay? Now, your problem that you're probably facing, i.e. Saturn, whatever, is due to some things that you have not unloaded from the childhood experience. Your code indicates that you've had some trouble in your formative years, probably at least until 15, that there were some troubles. And so what happened, Linda, was you held on to that. You bypassed it. Well, you didn't bypass it, but you traveled further in your life. But you held on to certain emotional, probably issues that you're still carrying inside your energy that could be obstructing your pure vision of the 6th chakra, third eye. So that means that on the ground level in your lower chakras, you have some, let's call it debris, residual energy that you're still not totally, you haven't filtered it out yet. So what it's doing is it's causing your third eye, which is still connected to your other chakras, to have a little bit of non-clarity. And that's where the conflict is. It has nothing to do with the planets, really. It has to do with the internal journey that you're on. So if you can identify, either out loud or just personally to yourself, some of the issues of growing up, maybe social energy, you know, in school, with parents, it could be
divorce,
estrangement.
That's what I was going to say, with the parents. Were your parents divorced?
Yeah.
See, this kind of stuff, Linda, has contributed to your difficulties. And I don't know, you probably didn't go through therapy, or maybe you did, but it wasn't effective. It probably wasn't effective if you did, but I don't even know if you did. But you don't need to now, but what you need to do with your adult mind is clear that energy out, you see. And if you do that, you're going to have better clarity. Now, do you know verbatim that you are holding on to things from childhood, even though they may be long, deep buried?
Are you, like, questioning me?
Yeah, I'm asking a question.
You know, for some reason, something about school jumps out at me, but I don't know, something about school is that what you said just now, you know, for some reason school is jumping out at me. I don't really know why.
Well, did you have some social conflict?
Were you bullied? Like, were you bullied, or were there problems in your groups of friends?
I'm not sure. I'm just drawn to school though right now.
Okay, so there's something in there. If you're drawn to something that you can't quite
articulate,
that would be something to investigate. Okay. The other aspect of it is, you know, I don't know. There isn't really. Don't create a conflict if it isn't there. The only thing that we're picking up on is there might be something back in your background that might be blocking you a little bit. Perchance, was there any drinking problem in the family, even when remotely, with a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, or any abandonment issues going on?
An aunt, an uncle.
They weren't, always, present.
Yeah, I had, like, uncles who, like, smoke or drink. Even, like, recently when I went back, they're still drinking, you know. And my boyfriend, I don't know, maybe he quit, I don't know. He used to drink. As for abandonment, like, when I was in second grade, my, you know, loved, very dear aunt, like, she left without a word, you know.
You're saying that your boyfriend drank, or he drinks and you're not sure?
I'm not sure whether he quit recently, but for a while he was drinking a lot.
So that sounds like, I mean, we were talking about relationship and problem in relationship, and you said everything's fine with the guy, but now you're saying that he was drinking, which presents somewhat of an issue, because if he's, you know, drinking and needing to give it up, there may be a problem there. Did that create any type of conflict in your relationship with him?
The only conflict is, like, sometimes I used to worry about him, you know.
You worry about him in terms of the drinking?
Yeah.
Okay, so, see, that's what's going on, Linda. You're trying to figure out where the block is. We're not discouraging the tarot card reading. Go ahead. Study it. Practice. Get better and better and better. That's a good thing, okay? That's fine. But you see, what happens sometimes is the clarity, you're just not reading tarot cards like mechanically reading them. You also have to have some interpretive skill and some insight into being intuitive and feeling the energy. And there may be something in your system that might be obstructing that. Like you get a little, you know, eyelash in your eye. Think of that as a psychic energy. And there's something there that has to be purged. Did anybody have any motorcycles in your background?
My aunt, my uncle, both on my mom's side.
Yeah. You see, so what's happening, Linda, if you appreciate what's happening, we're picking up on vibrations. Those vibrations are coming to us as images. Those images represent themes of conflict. So you've got to go into your world and figure out where these themes of conflict are coming from, and further just let them go. Let them drift out of your system. Picture you're on a cliff and you just let them go in the breeze and they fly off into the sky, the ocean, and you just let them go and you feel relaxed. This will help you to get better at, because what I see ultimately is you're going to be doing a small party of tarot card reading at a small party, a gathering, and it will be kind of like for fun, but you're going to realize that people like what you say because you have a bit of an analytical mind.
What?
But you're depressed a little bit. You have analytical mind, but you're a little bit depressed.
What are you doing, like, with your tarot cards? How are you learning how to read them and studying? What's your course of study?
Not much, really. I just won this set of tarot cards recently on, like, the psychic show. You know, they decided to send it to me. I just got and started filming videos right away. I mean, I did have, like, experience watching videos, you know, I just sought a lot of help through, like, Blog Talk Radio or through the psychic guys hired and the videos on YouTube, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of reading that you can do, though, about the symbolism of the cards. And, you know, the cards are so rich in their artwork, and there's so much, I mean, subtle things within the cards that will enhance your readings if you learn about them, rather than just going to a YouTube video or a handbook.
Now, you got to do some, did you go to college or anything, Linda?
I earned an associate's degree of science, but it took, like, I don't know, like, after 8 years of going to college, I finally got it.
Uh-huh.
What's your science? I mean, it's an associate degree in science, but what area of science are you most interested in, or did you specialize in? I guess it's not really specialized with an AA, but or A, do they call it an AS?
AS.
It's AS. Go ahead.
It's like optional, you know, whatever science class you want to take, you just have to fill the credits. I'm kind of interested in everything, you know. I actually really like psychology.
Okay, well, you need to do, you're a little bit of a slow learner, but now you can be at home in the comfort of your home. Read more about tarot card. Get to the history of tarot card and how to read the card and what they mean and what they symbolize and how they apply to life. If you want to do this, you're going to have to apply yourself.
Well, what did you work, Linda? Do you have like a regular job? Just out of curiosity.
No, I'm on SSI.
Oh, okay. So you're getting disability?
What's the nature of your disability?
Like schizophrenia, bipolar, autism.
Well, you got to then, you know, us putting that aside, you've got to utilize, you can still be a talented reader despite your psychological and emotional states of being. And, you know, we sense that there's some instability there. That's why we were investigating something in your childhood. But you know, you got to go on living. You can't tag yourself with these things. You sound coherent to us, and you have moments.
To her credit, she is. I mean, she called with interest in tarot and furthering her knowledge. So it sounds like you're really on a good path, Linda. Not just focused on your disability.
You know, we're all a little bit schizophrenic. We're all a little bit bipolar. Everybody's got a little bit of quirks and knacks and figures in there that sound nutty to us. So don't obsess on that right now. Study. Don't put blocks to studying. Do you know how to read? Can you read English?
Yeah.
Of course. Do you like to read?
Can you read Spanish?
Do you like to read about symbolism? Is it exciting to read about the tarot?
I'm like really spontaneous with readings. Like I just like... There's like periods of like where I can read a lot and periods where I don't. I usually copy books these days, word for word.
Okay, well, go at your own pace. I'm not going to get confused by your method and durability in reading. Just go at your own pace, take it easy, but practice. And you know, quit obsessing on whether Saturn's in your way. Nothing's in your way.
We were on the same thought just then.
That's
because
ridiculous.
I was going to say, you know, yeah, your life is not controlled by what's happening
There's
in
no
outer space. It's
planet that said, I think I'm going to block Linda today. Nothing like that is going on. And there's nothing in the astrological report that's coming out to get me.
Right. There's more of a likelihood that there would be a block from something that occurred in your soul's history. So that's what you have to get through rather than worrying about what's going on in the solar system. And it can be challenging. It can be challenging to get through that. But if you're aware of, you know, the hurdles that you have to overcome and your strengths, then it is much easier. So that's why we work with the birthday code.
It's more personal. So I hope that's helped, Linda. We're direct readers. We're not going to aggravate you by saying, oh, my God, Saturn's in your way. No. We're telling you what to do and how to do it, and we're encouraging you. It's a good reading. It's a positive reading. And, you know, if you need help, call back on the show, whatever. But that's where we stand with you.
Cool.
Okay. All right, Linda, thanks for your call.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Linda can join us on Facebook. Hope she does. She can find those accounts, Neil and Kristen Baker and the rest, via our Blog Talk Radio homepage. Okay, we're out of callers, so we get to chat. Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't even talked to you at all this morning.
Oh, you didn't?
Not really.
We did talk. You yelled at me. I guess you didn't talk. You could say, you know, I didn't talk to you at all this morning. I yelled at you. But that's okay with
me
because I've been yelled at all my life. So.
Oh, please. That's if you don't yell at me.
Yeah, well, we have yelling matches.
We do sometimes. Well, that's the twin soul pattern.
You
okay.
know, it's funny that yelling, when you look at the word yell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yellow?
And, yeah. Exactly.
Yellow?
Mm-hmm. Isn't it weird how words
morph
that are so diverse
yeah.
in meaning borrow the same suffix? Prefix. It's a, and you know, and then it mellows out into something else. O-W, and then the O-W is ow.
Ow.
So
yell,
it's
ow.
A frenetic sound.
Yeah, and sometimes it hurts to be yelled at.
Huh?
Sometimes it hurts to be yelled at. Yell,
yeah,
ow.
Yeah, and if you're,
however,
and if you run, then you're yellow.
Right, and
but,
you know, I've been yelled at all my life as well, so
yeah.
we have that in common.
Well, we have that in common.
We do have a caller.
Oh, we have a caller.
Yeah, we have a caller. We
not.
Will not yell at them.
Hope they're not curious yellow.
I don't know if they want a reading. They actually did not raise their hand. Or he or she, I should say. It's not properly English to say. It's not a group of callers. It's one caller.
It could be an animal.
Yeah,
you know, we have
well, I hope we've amused everyone sufficiently. Hi.
Don't label me. I could be he or she or both. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Well, that's very open of you. What's your name?
We'll call you a human being.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. It's Jennifer, normally a call from 519.
I thought it was Jennifer. I was like, this voice sounds exactly like Jennifer.
Jennifer Aniston.
But you're calling from a different number.
Yes.
4370. Okay. Hey, Jennifer. Good morning or good
another
afternoon. 24. I think it's afternoon where you are. She's a 24.
Good afternoon, yeah.
Yeah. It's morning here, but anyway. Okay, what's new?
I just found out my unemployment ends in about 6 weeks, so I'm wondering if I'll be able to find something prior to that, or if I should just take the time to enjoy the summer and tap into my savings.
Well, you have, you said about 7 years of savings to live on, right? So it's
such a great memory.
Oh, thanks. And the seven is in your year, actually, and broken up in your day, interestingly enough. But, you know, obviously, you don't want to have to dip into that savings, even though it's a substantial amount. I mean, there are a lot of people that call the show and they don't have any savings and their unemployment's going to run out, you know, or they don't have unemployment. They're, you know, I don't know what they're living on, but is there anything that you have going on?
I have an interview to work for the border on June the 14th, but the hiring process for that is a really long one. Plus there's this test that I have to do, this physical test, and I looked at it online and I would have to sort of hop over, like, you know, hurdles. I don't know that I can do that.
So that would be like if you were chasing someone who was trying to, like, you know, cross the
yes.
border illegally.
Correct, yeah.
And you would be, what are you, like in a watchtower or something? Is that the position you're interviewing for?
Yeah, well, I think they can do many different things with you. You can go to the farms where the migrant workers are and shake the trees down and see if anyone falls out. Or you can just sit at the booth and check people's IDs as they cross. So one or the other.
So is that's the only job that you have potentially?
So far, yeah.
How do you qualify for that? Do you carry a gun or do you have a test you have to have or what?
They did a test. I passed the test. Then there's an interview on the 14th. Then there's a physical. And then there's a psychological test.
I mean, can
in
anybody
terms of background?
Yeah,
anybody can be one.
Oh, anyone can be one. Well, here's my opinion, Jennifer. Never spend your money, your savings, if you don't have to. That's why it's called a savings. I'm gonna kick back for the summer and live on my savings for a while. And you may go, well, I have enough. I don't think it's a good idea. And anyways, you want to be productive. So if I were you, I'd be getting a job.
Well, in Jennifer's defense, I'm sorry to interject. she probably would be productive during the summer in a different way than like working. I imagine that you would be putting your time into maybe intellectual pursuits, enriching cultural experiences and things like that. So it wouldn't be like, you know, just, you know,
a weekend planned at Lilydale. I intend to go work at their healing temple. You know, there's things that I will do, and I'm doing a demo, like a platform demonstration for mediumship in June as well. So I'm doing things.
Right. Okay, well,
that's what I thought.
That's fine. That's good.
But still,
find
a job.
I think you're going to be getting work.
I mean, the physical fitness, I'm pretty physically fit, but I don't think I would be able to leap hurdles. I think that would be pretty challenging to do. Are you able to prepare for the test in any way? I mean, I don't know where you can, I guess like a college campus might have hurdles you could leap over on a track.
Yeah,
maybe.
They do, and in June, they offer a prep course for it, and they show you how to do everything, so. I go to the gym. I'm physically fit. I can run on a treadmill, that sort of thing. The hurdle thing, I'm so afraid of falling.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is the job necessarily, but I would still look for other opportunities. You're a freelance person. You go on assignments.
Yes.
For what? Again, now see, my memory's failing me.
Lately, it's been governments. And I'm not ruling out having a full-time job, but I don't want to get stuck doing something that I don't want to do.
What do you specifically do, though? I mean, I know that it's government, but what do you specifically do in your attempt?
It varies. It just varies. I'm not really a specialist in any field. There's a lot of things I can do. I've had years of experience of work. So I'm an easy person for someone to bring in and not have to train for very long, and I can get going. So, but none of the government jobs here are, they're not, that you have to be there for 5 years before you can get like a regular full-time job.
Wow.
You know, I'll tell you something, Jennifer. I get a bizarre image around you. It's first of all an image, and it can only be symbolic at the first stage. But I see you talking to horses or doing something with horses. So what's your relationship with horses per se, first of all?
I was one of the kids who actually had a pony. My mom has horses. I've taken horseback riding lessons. She lives on a ranch.
Okay.
My grandfather trained horses.
Got it. So here's the thing. We didn't know that. That's a psychic image that came to us, right? So we don't have to argue about that. You validated it without any prior knowledge. There's something going on. It in terms of having leisure time, look into horse whisperers or something to do with horses, at least on a level of just pure entertainment and interest. There's now we're getting into something esoteric and mystical. There's an animal magnetism in the astral realm, if you will, that is trying to communicate you in the element of a horse. So we have people on the ground in Earth that are horse whisperers, or horse healers, or horse trainers, or things like that. There was a great movie called The Rider.
Yes. Watch The Rider. Have you seen that movie?
No, is it on Netflix? I can watch it.
I don't think it's on Netflix, but
pick it up and see what it is.
It's really,
aside from, you know, the horse whisperer and things like that. But read on
movie.
You have in the mystical world a figure, a astral figure that is symbolized as a horse that's trying to communicate to you.
So it's like a spirit, a totem for her.
Could be. I don't know. Maybe it's the horse, the pony you were raising. I don't know what it is yet, Jennifer. But you go there, and then after doing that for a week or two, you discover your dreams, you see if there's any answers coming in, and then from there you incorporate that into the general flow of your life, because it might be that there you get a job at the border. I don't know yet.
Is the job at the border permanent or temporary?
That one would be the permanent one.
Permanent, but you said you're afraid of working at a permanent job. right?
Well, I think there's enough variety within that organization that I can shift from position to position. It's not like you're in the same position the whole time. So
okay,
you
I
can
think it's good
apply for other
to have
things.
A permanent job. I mean, probably I would say get a permanent job rather than having this, you know, unemployment and then you're working an assignment and then you're without work. I don't think that is good for stability. So if it's possible to get something permanent, I
do
would
like,
suggest it.
Do you like animals?
Yeah, I don't, I'm not one of those animals people, but, you know, I got a dog, I got a cat, you know, if I see an animal in the street, I'll pet it, but.
Well, are you open to following through on the suggestion about the horses, at least to just
absolutely.
Be entertained? Okay, I want you to do that. I want you to do that.
Okay.
And if there's anything where something suddenly occurs to you where you can do hands-on healing with an animal. And I don't know how it would occur. Just fumble through it.
Well, she's doing that course in Lilydale, which is like the, well, I don't know, psychic community or whatever. So maybe there's something in that where there'll be opportunity to work with animals, or maybe there's a course.
Animal communication. I don't know what it is. Something's going on, Jennifer, because the image wouldn't come otherwise.
I actually had my cat one cat. I haven't had many cats, but it came up to me, looked me straight in the eye, and I could hear as clear in my head, it said, I have something to tell you. And so I looked at the cat. I said, okay, go ahead. And then it never finished.
Huh.
Just walked away.
Yeah, cats can be very mysterious, and they love incomplete sentences. I would never have a cat teach me English.
No.
But the problem with our cat, it won't shut up.
Gosh.
So if it has something to say to us, now we're up all night listening. But no, see, that's where the image is. So you just investigate that and get back to us. Tell us what you've experienced.
Okay, good luck, Jennifer.
I will.
Good luck, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Bye. I'm hearing myself echo back for some reason. Okay, 310 area code. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, we're talking to you. Who's this?
This is Mindy.
Oh, hi, Mindy.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay. Give us your birth date again, please.
April 5th, 1956.
Okay. And what's going on?
Let's see. a move and national, I mean, to be here in the States or to go overseas.
Well, we've talked about
question.
We've talked about this before, right?
Yeah. And
different
things that are
based on the past recommendation, we said that moving overseas was a good idea because you have the business
right.
with the like soaps and things for children, right? Correct?
That's right.
And the recommendation was to move or to do what you can to move overseas, but there were some things tying you up here. You have this situation with the roommate you didn't like, you were
right.
like friends or something, and there was drama, and the sister came into the reading, and so on and so forth. So I remember pretty
sure.
specifically. But what's going on now that's tying you up?
Elderly father.
Okay.
Elderly father that lives in Florida.
Okay. Have you called, I'm just picking up that you've called other Blog Talk Radio shows. Have you called a show recently and gotten advice? Because I'm getting the feeling that you got advice that is not right on. Have you called another show recently?
Nope. I've been very busy at work. I actually happen to be working from home today.
Yeah, I'm just getting the feeling that you got some advice that directed you.
You're incorrect. I have not.
Well, I'm picking up that you have. But anyway, so you have an elderly father in Florida. And where is he staying? Is he living in an assisted living facility?
No, he's at a home. He's in his home. He's pretty independent.
Okay. So are you considering moving to Florida?
That's probably the question at hand here.
Yeah, if you have a karmic, mm-hmm. connection,
That's what I wanted to talk about. Yep, sorry.
Yeah, we have our karmic connection. If we have a karmic connection, we all have a karmic connection to our parents to some extent. And then we go from there and we work out our scenario with them. But if your father is really alone and has no assistance and no one, and you're really looking at that and you feel compelled, how old is your father?
91. He's going to be 92 June
9th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And what's his birthday?
Well, he's going to be 92.
June 9th, 1928.
35-8. Yeah. I think, my opinion is to go and help your father right now.
Thank you.
That's what
Thank
I think you,
you
should do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. That's basically it because of the that's the reason why I'm actually calling. And
is
all the
anybody,
drama that
is anybody in your family close to him? I mean in geographically speaking.
No.
Yeah.
So there's do you have any siblings or anything like that? Are you an only child?
I certainly do have siblings.
And where are they located?
We talked about that previously.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
They're not, that's okay.
Where are
they? Just,
where are they located?
I don't need to state that where they are. They're not in Florida. I don't want to over the radio. Sorry. But
okay,
I think I got my answer. And that karmic tie is something that I'd like to just hear a little bit more about.
Well, you have a karmic tie with him. You see, your master number is 3 and his is 8. That's 11. Your year is a 56, which is an 11.
And your month, and day 4 and 5 is his fire number 9.
Yeah,
so.
And then he has an 11 and is 1928. Anyways, you have a karmic connection to him whereby you probably previously, before you both came down, that you would turn around and help him in his last years, and then you'll probably be there or near there when he crosses. I'm not going to tell
that's
you when
very interesting.
That's not important. I don't think your stay there will be terribly long, but that's what you're supposed to do. And there's something that maybe we could say he wants to say I'm sorry for, and you can say it's okay.
Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then from him saying sorry and you're saying it's okay, you give him the ease to move into the astral realm permanent,
That's awesome.
Not carry that burden.
That's terrific. That is wonderful. Thank you so very much for that opportunity to hear that message.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you again. Have a beautiful rest of the day. Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. back to our conversation.
Yeah. Well, when you come back to the planet, most of your energies and karmas are going to be in your lower chakras.
In Mindy's case, obviously there's a karmic connection to her father because he brought her into the world. So there is a karmic connection with your parents. I mean, it's a given.
Yeah.
And your family, anybody in your family.
Yeah. Logically speaking, biologically speaking, but when we get into the mystical vocabulary, then we get into other ideas that the sentences go beyond the obvious and even beyond the more interpretive skills that maybe a psychologist might use. What our conversation is, what are the ties in past lives? What are the obligations that we have to one another that originated prior to the to either of our births, meaning parent and child?
We have another caller.
So those energies are carried into the chakra systems, and basically they live and thrive in the lower chakra systems, the root chakra, the relationship chakra, the first communication chakra, which is the third chakra, the stomach, the umbilical cord. That kind of thing holds so much information about the past life. As we move up the chakra system, we get more into more esoterically transcendent themes. But the lower ones, nah, that's where all the business is. But you can still interpret what's going on a lower stage by looking at the higher numbers in a birth date or a...
Yeah, and sometimes obviously the higher numbers will be polluted by the lower energy.
Yeah.
So when people are trying to reach the higher levels, the lower chakras or themes, the birth date, whatever numbers in the birth date are going on can bring those higher chakras down.
Think of it as the ocean, you know, the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. It's still the ocean in different regions.
Okay, let's bring on our caller from 302. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Gloria.
Hi, Gloria. How are you? You're
I'm sorry. My allergies are going crazy right now.
I need
now.
To do that, too. Today I've been coughing for some reason. I feel
yeah.
like there's weight on my chest.
My birth date is 2/10/69.
Okay. Have we spoken with you before? I can't remember. I feel
yeah.
like I remember
yes,
your name.
Yes, we have spoken a few times.
I didn't remember your birth date.
Anyways, my... question is about dreams. What does a UFO represent in a dream? And then number two is, who dictates or what dictates how long we can travel, like astral travel or dream, while we're asleep? Like, is there a guide or something that pulls us back in when we're out astrally traveling or dreaming or...
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, when you are astrally traveling or dreaming, you're attached to the silver cord. So there's
okay.
a silver cord that connects us. And if the silver cord is severed, we die. I mean, there's death. So the
okay.
silver cord is always attached to us. As far as UFOs in a dream, I mean, there's many things it could mean. Perhaps you're encountering some type of alien life form. But there could be other symbolism
yeah.
as well.
Well, there's so many different elements in the astral world. Angels, guides, spirits, and some of them travel in orbs. If you look at even some biblical paintings, you'll see flying saucers in the paintings that were painted
right.
thousands of years ago. You know, and so there's astral elements in the astral realm that are verbatim. They will be unidentified flying objects. They're spirits, they're orbs, they're astral beings. Also, what happens in the sleeping body as it's receiving the visions of what's in the astral realm, is the sleeping body will make the image something it can comprehend. So it's looking
right.
at a screen and it sees it in an orb, and it goes, oh, I'm going to send that message to my sleeping body, and the sleeping body goes, oh, that's like a UFO. Now, the other thing is that we can actually encounter aliens in the astral realm and have experiences therein. Barney and Betty Hill, very famous on Interrupted Journey, they were abducted by aliens. One of the more famous cases, still not disproven. But you can encounter alien forms in that regard. And and there might be some suggestion that you have been connected to alien beings, and in your dream you are visiting those realms. As far as the astral travel goes, you can be out there as long as you want. What's going to pull you back is your own sleeping body, or maybe there's something disturbing in the astral realm, so you're pulled back in. But you know, sometimes if you have if you're talking to a guide or a spirit, and you're having deep conversations, then they may send you back immediately to incorporate the energy back into your sleeping body that's in the physical form. But there's no astral travel. You know, they say dreams only last a minute or two, or sometimes a few seconds. It seems like a long time, but most of our dreams last anywhere from 10 seconds to 3 minutes, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
No, but that's a dream is not always the same as an astral travel.
When you're astral, yes.
You can be astral traveling for a long time. There's no real. You're not going to lose your breath or anything. The only problem with astral travel duration time is that your sleeping body may pull your astral body back in, because it's very hard to astral project in conscious state. You can do it, but most of us do it in a sleeping state.
And sometimes you'll have psychological dreams that are interspersed with astral travel, so you'll be having kind of a duality in both.
I've been able to determine like emotional dreams versus past life dream versus going to a whole different world or dimension. I mean, now I have, but before I used to say to myself, what the heck was that all about? For instance, I just had a dream last week about a person, a relative that, you know, I didn't really get along with. And it was a past life. It felt like a past life dream. And when I woke up, I remember saying to myself, oh, that's why this person is this way with me. And it was kind of like a eye opener. I understood why she was like kind of abrasive to me. And then there have also been dreams where I've seen like a vision of Jesus in the sky, the size of a football field, just floating across the sky. And I always just wondered, what is that? Like, was that a spaceship? And my mind just thought it was Jesus floating in the sky. Like, it was really odd.
Well, yeah, you can. Both explanations are applicable. They both apply, and if you tell the difference, then that's very good. You learned how to decipher and connect to, you know, the whatever proper form you're experiencing. So discernment and discretion is good, and that seems to be something you're moving along with. And the astral realm can hold vast images, you know. Ask St. John in Revelation what the astral realm can have.
Right. I mean, I would encourage her to start researching the symbols that she's seeing in her dreams to get a deeper meaning from the dreams than you're already getting. Because it sounds like you're bringing a lot back with you to your waking. So it sounds, it seems to me that you can be enriched further by what you're encountering.
I like to think about dreams as, you know, a metaphor would be flying in an airplane is having a dream. Flying in outer space in a rocket is being in the astral realm. So if you can compare the two, we can have ground dreams and we can feel really special, and we can have outer space dreams. When you have an astral dream, you're transcending the gravity of your energy. You're out, and sometimes there's indications you're going to be flying, floating. You're talking to people you don't know. I mean, there's different things that you need to understand that. So that's where that comes from. Also, be aware, Gloria, of somebody who does car racing, who drives cars too fast. Don't be in a car with them.
But what were you going to say?
Well, you know what? I was just going to say you're speaking about a few people in my life. So primarily,
really?
I always say to my husband that you drive too fast. Like, don't be in such a hurry. Just chill out. But he, like, knows when to, you know, chill out and just slow down some. But
it is an issue. It is an issue you've experienced. So if you feel really uneasy about a fast driver in your life, in your life around you, don't get in the car with them if they don't want to listen to you.
It's so crazy because that's one of my phobias. Remember, I said before I was afraid of drowning, but driving too fast has always been, and I never knew where that came from, but I'm assuming it's
probably
from a past life or something.
Probably past life.
And I do keep a dream book, but you know, when I go online to try to interpret what these dreams mean, it's so much stuff out there that after a while I just shut
it's
down and say, you know what? Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I like, for instance, I had a dream of a white-capped mountain a couple weeks ago, and it was the most beautiful mountain I'd ever seen, but I had no shoes on, so I was trying to look up the meaning of the white mountain, And it had like several interpretations, and I guess I had to really think about what was going on in my life at the time.
What's difficult about going to general or general dream books that will say, you know, a mountain means this, is that what it means to you in the history of your soul and
right.
your current existence is going to be not necessarily concurrent with what the dream book says.
Yeah.
Right.
Your dream is about reaching a high peak, but you're not
but
prepared,
you're prepared
yet.
For it because the
shoes. And it could be a vulnerability in the physicality of your feet, or it could be a vulnerability in the substance of your root chakra. But there's something starting.
Which actually, sorry to interrupt. In her birth date, she has one next to the zero, so that would make sense.
Yeah.
Because that's the one it represents the root chakra.
But the fact that you're there without shoes means that it's a peak you need to climb. So,
right.
you know, when you get into snow-peaked mountains, well, sometimes you get into Tibetan philosophy and more of the shaman element. And so there's something about a higher consciousness that needs to be tapped into, and you need to walk that territory about higher consciousness that apparently hasn't melted yet.
I think I'm scared of progressing. I love spirituality, but I'm kind of intimidated by the whole, I'm not saying I'm psychic or a medium, but I'm kind of hesitant about opening up to that. I don't know why it scares me so much. And I'm wondering if that's the symbol.
Well, you're being afraid. You know, it's like there's no reason to be afraid in terms of a reading that says you're going to die doing it. You know,
right.
you can be afraid of a swimming pool, and that's real. But there's nothing really in reality to be afraid of once you learn how to swim.
Well, hopefully that helps, Gloria. Hopefully
Thank
that
you
helps.
So much. Yes, it does.
Okay, great.
Difference.
We're glad.
Thank you.
We're
Have
glad.
A good weekend.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we have one more caller and not a lot of time. We've got to close on time today, so about 5 minutes for this call. Hello, 401, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil. This is Carrie calling in. I happen to see you were on today, and I recently just became interested in my life path number. It's also a karmic number, which is 19 and 1. So I was wondering if you had any information or insight to shed on that regarding...
Your birth
shaping my spiritual path.
Well, your birth
8685.
8685, and I know your master number,
yes.
But 1424. She's a 30. Yeah, I thought you were a 9, but 36.
I'm
sorry.
37.
Wait, no, 37101. What is wrong with us today? Adding.
It's okay.
37101. 1424. Yeah. 37101. So, first of all, your master number is 1, and in many of the books that are out there, they're going to call your master number, what we deem a master number, a life path number. So that's not what we call it because it's limiting. A life path, I mean, then it puts you into a category. Everybody is the 1, you know, build homes and, you know, it's limiting. As far as your car number being 19, I'm not sure where that's coming from, because your karmic number actually 37. But according to the books you might be reading, there's probably a different way of approaching the number system. So how do you derive the 19?
That's what I was confused about, because I know one is very, you know, definitely a born leader, very independent, driven, and then, you know, reading about that, it's sort of like a double-edged sword, meaning, you know, you need to learn to accept help from others. So I was just wondering.
Right. I mean, that's why we find the 1. I mean, why we find the generalized, you know, like you're a born leader if you're a 1. Well, that may not necessarily be true. I mean, you know, defining numbers or master numbers as personality with personality traits, even though we do it here on the radio show sometimes, but it's just not really. It's not really accurate, unfortunately. So what you're
gonna... I think that might be why I feel like I've suppressed my own personality kind of in a current situation, because I am a natural kind of born leader, and I feel as though, you know, I'm definitely open to teamwork, but, you know, I mean, I like to kind of have the creative expression. So, I mean, I was just, it was something a friend had done kind of for fun. And then I reading it a little bit more, you know, I don't know what karmic numbers or karmic debts are, but I mean, it's just sort of 6 to 1.5 dozen to another, just sort of figuring out my whole spiritual path ahead and knowing, you know, what serves my soul purpose the best, you know, as opposed to maybe putting others or allowing them to take charge when we might end up in a dead end.
Well, your main code, you know, you have a very strong code of expression, verbal expression. You have a very major 5 energy going on.
And also an power energy with her 8s.
Yeah, and the 1 is independence. But you have an 8-6, which is a 14 or a 5, and it's repeated again in your day and year, the 6 and 8, and that equals 14 equals 5. Your last number is 5. So there's a very strong expression energy somewhere in time and space. Maybe not in this lifetime. You were meant to be a psychologist.
I've been seen a lot of 5s everywhere, like license plates and 8, 4, 8,
yeah.
0. Even when I go and check out at the grocery store, 8888. So thank you.
That's a power number. But let's get away from the numbers for a minute. Somewhere in time and space, Carrie, maybe not in this lifetime, but somewhere in your energy field, there is a psychologist, a therapist, someone who expresses mm-hmm. something about emotions or something.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Carrie, just answer, but I wanted to say something else about the 1. But
oh, no,
go
no, ahead. I like that. I actually been thinking about possibly going back to school. I have a degree, but kind of shifting gears and maybe focusing more on social work. And, you know, I just feel as though that would be more fulfilling and for the future, at least.
What's your degree in?
It's in social science and with a focus on political science. I was going to be a lawyer, but yeah, no, I don't think that's really where my heart belongs anymore.
She's
yeah.
a flight attendant. She's a flight
I was
attendant,
a flight attendant too.
Previously, yeah. But she also owns property. That's where the 1 comes in, because a lot of times with 1s, because it deals with the base chakra and also the energy of the home, a lot
I
of...
I have an estate for sale.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Guys would be happy to know that I have initiated the sale.
A cheetah for sale?
A cheetah for sale. What? No, no, no. Initiated the sale.
Oh,
that's
oh.
what you said, right?
Moving
a cheetah.
Forward, yes. Finally ready to move forward.
But as far as the karmic number, as far as your karmic number, you have 37 years of more of a locked in karma where things are more set in terms of what can happen in your life. Then after the age of 37, you have more freedom. You're also compounded. 37 and then 10, 3 and 7 is 10, and then 1. So you have to reduce that 37 twice. So that means that you've come into the world with more complexity and you're dealing with intense karma from more than 1 past life. I mean, we all deal with karma from more than 1 past life. Even if you're not compounded, but people that are compounded,
mm-hmm.
as far as the 19, I think that's a different system. I don't know where the 19 is coming from still.
Okay. That's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah. I mean, that's according to our form of numerology, that's not really, I mean, that's not a number that is resonating.
You're born in 1900.
Right.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. The social work, the lawyer work, the psychology work, going back to school, that's where we're sounding off today.
And the sociology that you're interested in, doing social work, not sociology, sorry, social work is in line with that psychology vibe that Neil was getting. So
yeah, you're not too, you're still too old. You can pursue
she?
It.
She's
33. I'll be 34.
So you're still, I mean, you still haven't reached that age of 37 where there's going to be a big change for you.
Yeah. Go back to school and pursue it.
Thank you for that validation. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Carrie.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, we're out of time, so we'll be back on air on Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone.